This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal.
When people get upset about something happening at work, whether it's a personnel, human resources kind of thing, or something bigger, whistleblowing worthy maybe, they don't always know how to take that next step, who to talk to. And unhappy people, as you know, are a company's worst nightmare, so a lot of corporations are turning to organizational ombudsmen to handle things before they get out of control. Audrey Quinn has more.
Tim Shaw runs the Organizational Ombudsman Office at Pfizer. I went to meet him at the pharmaceutical giant's Manhattan campus. His office looks a bit like a therapist's. Black leather couches, soothing green walls.
We tried sort of a zen-like feeling. There's an orchid on the table.
I tested him out with a scenario. He turns on a white noise machine for extra privacy. Say I was an employee, and I came to you and said, my office mate breathes really heavily. They breathe so loudly that I get distracted from my work. What would you say to me?
Yeah, so keep in mind, this is somebody that you're sharing an office with every day. So you would think that you could have just a very candid conversation with that person. So we would actually go through it.
He had me practice what I could say. Shore played the heavy breather.
So your office mate might be embarrassed and say, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that. I'm so sorry. I'll try to be more aware of it. Or he might get angry and say, hey, you know what? I have a medical issue and it's none of your business.
Shore says just letting people practice these kinds of conversations, it makes them less scary. And it makes small disputes between coworkers go a lot smoother. Pfizer opened this organizational ombudsman office 2.5 years ago. Shore says he sees the people who don't feel comfortable with the typical reporting channels.
They don't want their name on a file. They don't want to be part of an investigation. They don't want to be part of that formal process. This allows them to come forward with information so that the company has an opportunity to do something about it.
The first wave of corporate organizational ombudsman programs came as a reaction to business scandals back in the 80s and 90s. Anna Marie Cousins-Price leads the International Ombudsman Association. She's also an organizational ombudsman at Halliburton. The company started its program 2 decades ago after an employee sued over a problem with a coworker. She couldn't go into details.
The story goes that there was an issue that was raised and it cost the company about $500,000.
Halliburton wanted its people to have an option for addressing interpersonal issues outside of court. So they started the Ombuds Office. In the late 1990s, about 10% of Fortune 1000 companies had organizational ombudsmen. Now about 14% have ombuds. Cousins-Price says that number's growing as the American workforce gets more diverse.
If you're dealing with people of different ages, of different cultural backgrounds, of, you know, just people, different people, at some point you'll need an ombuds. I mean, I ombuds with my husband at home all the time.
Chuck Howard is a lawyer in Hartford, Connecticut. He specializes in organizational ombudsman programs. Howard says they're especially helpful for would-be whistleblowers. Typically, a whistleblower would take her issue to a media outlet or to court. But organizational ombudsmen give you the option to talk to someone within your company, someone who's not your boss. Howard says whistleblower protection laws do exist, but for most people, being a whistleblower just doesn't pay.
The data shows that most people never get a bounty, and if you're labeled as a whistleblower, it sets you apart. It's very hard, both for the employee and for the company.
He says an organizational ombudsman can make sure a problem gets addressed without the messenger getting stuck with the title of office troublemaker. In New York, I'm Audrey Quinn for Marketplace.